It's Thursday, July 2nd, and you're listening to the Game Grin Grincast. It's been a scorcher this week in the UK, but don't worry, we've got plenty of cool talkers here today to keep off the heat. Nah, I'm just kidding, it's actually unbearably hot. I'm your host, Hamiltonius, and with me is our lineup of lovely speakers, including Ace Lister.
Howdy.
Cal.
It's so warm.
Fowler.
Hello.
And that's it. It's a star-studded team. So, we're going to start off the podcast today by going over what games we've been playing, and specifically what games we've actually been playing for Game Grin, to give you an idea of the recent releases or what might be coming out in the future. So, since Ace is at the top of my list, I'll be heading to him first. What have you been playing, Ace?
I've been playing Batman Arkham Knight. The review should be up before this podcast hits the site. It's pretty good. It was on PlayStation 4, so no low score from us for the PC version. I've also been playing Lego Worlds.
Lego Worlds, is that the... No, that's the wrong one. Is that the one you like Minecraft?
Yes, it is.
Ah, thought so.
But with much fewer options and things to do.
So it's not as good as Minecraft?
I'm not a fan of Minecraft, so...
Oh, I see. What about Arkham Knight, though? What do you think?
Very good. It's the best Batman game that's out. It's not the best game that's out, but it's the best Batman game that's out.
Is it better than Asylum?
Yes.
A bold claim.
I would say it is better than Asylum, in my opinion.
I don't like the entire series, so I've got no horse in this race.
I think everything in it is so... It's like a full circle, almost. But I don't want to delve into it, because it's going to be fucking spoilers. Spoilers all the time. Because it's so story-driven. It's, you know, you can mention something and it'll be like, oh, shit, I've just given away a bit of the plot point.
Yeah, exactly.
Gameplay-wise, it's everything better. Because even the combat is just superb compared to the previous ones.
I agree. I'm actually... very, very bad at the combat in Asylum and City, but this it's much easier and it flows better.
Yeah, definitely when, like, because in the other ones, if you knock them to the ground, you have to do like a ground pound to knock them out completely. But now in this one, you can roll about and fucking fly and beat the shit out of them if they're on the ground. So it's a lot more free flowing, as they say.
What about canonically? Because obviously, Ace, you read the Batman comics, so is it a faithful adaptation of the source material?
Well, the Arkham games exist in their kind of own mini universe, but it's faithful enough to the comics, and it's very faithful to the games themselves. It sticks to its own established mythology. The characters all act to type, and it's very well done.
It's pretty much his very own, because it's basically the name, it's the Arkham franchise. So it's his very own universe, essentially, what Rocksteady has created. But I would say, but there's loads of hints and mentions of other comics related to other characters. So it's very nods to a lot of the comics and the stories throughout the Batman universe. So, you know, play it, obviously.
What about the Batmobile? Having seen the Ace Chemicals section, it seemed like that was nothing but Batmobile. Is it forced upon you much, or can you go about your own way up pretty much after that mission?
A lot of the missions do require the Batmobile. A lot of the side missions also require the Batmobile. The handling is a little dodgy. I knocked marks off for that. Instead of it being right trigger, left trigger to go forward and backward, it's right trigger and square to go forward and backwards.
Oh, so you turn into the tank when you try and brake?
Yeah, when you press what you instinctively know is the brake, instead you turn it into battle tank mode.
Yeah, a lot of it is kind of... I mean, when you're going up against the other enemy vehicles, it is obviously forced to be the tank. But if you're just trying to get to point A to B or whatever, you can drive in the Batmobile, or you can just glide around as Batman.
That's true.
It's fine.
How does it deal with
handling is awful.
The Batmobile having, because I saw it has like guns on it. How does that deal with like Batman's no killing thing?
Right,
it's hilarious.
You've got the 60mm cannon, which will only fire at vehicles, and you've got non-lethal rounds in a machine gun, Gatling gun thing.
That sounds counterproductive.
Sounds kind of lethal, to be honest.
It's border on the line of Batman not killing. It's essentially, oh, the car killed him, not me. There's a lot of times, because you're driving along and there's loads of groups of enemies dotted around the ground, and you can just drive and plow through into them, but you don't kill them, you get electrocuted or shocked.
Exactly, they don't get killed, they get shocked and thrown clear of the Batmobile.
It's just so silly. It looks like, oh, he's probably dead. You can also, when you're gliding around, there's a lot of vehicles that are just dotted about driving, and you can glide over them, and you can do a vehicle takedown. So when you get it, Batman jumps on top, rips the driver out of the vehicle, and then the car just kind of flips and crashes. But most of the time, there's another person in there as well. So it's like flipping, crashing. And it's like, I stopped the driver, but I killed the passenger, essentially. Well, I didn't, but the car did, because I'm Batman. It's like that a lot of the time. But it's still a hell of a lot of fun.
So would you say the game is better when you're not in the Batmobile? Or?
Yeah, there are some fun bits with the Batmobile, but mainly it's used for solving puzzles and for destroying tanks, and it can be a bit of work.
Right.
Usually I'll jump in the Batmobile just to give me a slingshot to jump out and glide and grapple to wherever I need to go.
They kind of squeezed a little bit on to grabbed onto straws when it came to thinking of ideas to do with the Batmobile, because you've got the Riddler still in it, and he gives you all these bunch of new puzzles and all that shit. But one of them is basically a racetrack. So he's like, oh, the Dark Knight, I've created this racetrack for you to test the Batmobile. It's just one of them things to try and, oh, let's try and put as much as we can so that you're using the Batmobile.
Mm.
But there's still loads of Riddler trophies everywhere.
Cool. So the review will be online, well, by the time this podcast goes out, I suppose.
That's right.
So you can read the entire thing on GameGrin.com. And we'll move on to Fowler. So Fowler, what have you been playing, and is it any good?
I've actually been trying to play through The Last Dogma for GameGrin, and so far it was really interesting. It hooked me in at the tutorial, actually, which is abnormal for me. Had some good witty intros and just kind of remarks on gaming itself, and then it just kind of rapidly grew into a piece of crap. Well, every single note that I read pretty much had a big spelling or grammatical error, which kind of just bugged me, just for the lack of interest they put into actually writing things down properly.
Right, yeah.
It was actually one of the notes, and it was painful to try to understand what it was even saying to me. And just feels more like a joke of a game. But I've also been playing a lot of actually free-to-play games. This has been my main thing this week. Dirty Bomb, Smite, League.
What about poor Ark?
And Ark, but still recovering from the Corrupted Manifest mishap on Steam. But all my manifests got corrupted, the app manifests, and I had to reinstall every single game.
That sucks.
I'm still really impressed with how much progress they're making. At least 2 updates a week still, and they're adding in tons of bug fixes every time and content.
Is Ark more optimized now? Or is it still
I actually had a buddy who got it. He got it on release day, couldn't play it, and they implemented a patch this week that was supposed to give a 25% boost in frames, and he's getting 30 to 40 frames.
Yeah, it's not bad.
From being unplayable.
Yeah.
That's, once again, those guys are just, they're leading the way on what an early access alpha should do.
Cool stuff.
They added in a plesiosaur this week, I think, or
which
one's what it's actually called. The plesiosaur is like one of the underwater, it looks like a brontosaurus that's underwater.
Oh, I see. I used to know dinosaurs. I don't know dinosaurs anymore.
Well, the great thing is, too, they're giving a lot... It's not, like, leaked information or anything. They're putting out these things called dino dossiers, which are the, like, full breakdown of what the dinosaur is, and that's pretty much how you know it's going to be added. So they've shown, like, the giant beaver, Pachycephalosaurus is coming in, and a new type of pterodactyl.
I'm impressed with your pronunciation, by the way.
That's Jurassic Park for you.
Who knows these dinosaurs?
Right, well, Cal, what about you? What have you been playing recently, apart from Arkham Knight, since we've already gone through that? But you've had it on PC.
I got a 980 and I got it with a PC. It's horrible on the PC, which then led me to just go, you know what, I'll just get it on the PlayStation 4. But yeah, apart from Arkham Knight, I've been hit and miss playing a bit of Dirty Bomb. Bit of fun game. Power Foul has been playing it. You'll probably know a bit about it as well.
What is Dirty Bomb?
Dirty Bomb is essentially a new free-to-play FPS from the guys who created... what's it called?
Was it Brink?
Brink. Yes, awful game. But this one's really good. It's a bit like Team Fortress 2. You've got loads of different character types. They've all got their own special abilities. So you've got healers, big tough guys with machine guns, but it's just full-on team objective base, and it's just a lot of fun. The only downfall is it is a free-to-play game, so it does have its microtransactions, but it's not pay-to-win, which is the really main thing I like about it.
Is it just cosmetic?
No, not even that. You've got loadouts, and every time you get a certain amount of points within a game, you get credits, and you use that to buy lock crates. And the lock crates give you a card, and that's basically a loadout card for your character. You can buy those, but they're about 15 quid for a whole set, so it's really not worth it. Or if you want to buy the characters, because you've only got X amount of characters available to you, you can buy the characters. But again, there are either 50,000 credits or I think it's like 7 quid a character. But the main characters you've got, you don't have to spend a penny on, and you can just play through it and have a lot of good fun with it.
And they do rotate them every week. So
they do rotate them. So you can get a feel from.
The thing I love is like CSGO, they have their whole case drop thing where you get a case for free, but you pay, in Canadian, I think it's like $3.50 for a key to open a random skin.
Mm.
Whereas Dirty Bomb, you have a chance to get a randomly dropped case and it costs you nothing to open it.
Yeah, and you also got challenges as well. So it's really good to work on your challenges. So even if the challenge is just basically play 5 matches with this one character, you'll get 1,000 experience for it, and you'll get a case for it. Or you can spend $3.99 and buy an elite case, which gives you a higher chance of getting the rarer cards.
And those don't even actually give you better stuff necessarily.
Exactly. They don't. Sometimes they don't even give you good stats.
No, I got a Cobalt Sniper, which is like it's one of the highest. I think it is the highest ranked card, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I actually prefer the gold level card over it. So it's kind of interesting how you don't... It really is not pay to win. Like, I totally agree with you.
And I like the fact as well, I mean, even if you do find yourself getting a shitload of bronze or there's lead and iron, loads of different types, but you can trade them all up. So you can essentially... If I want a gold card for this one character, I can trade up 4 bronzes to get a silver, and then I can trade up 4 silvers to get a gold. And then you can stack it up. As long as you've got the cards and the credit, you can pay for it to get a gold card for your character you want. So it's worth... I mean, it's a grind, but it's worth it because you're not paying a penny.
It's still fun grinding, even.
Exactly, yeah. You can have so much freaking fun with it. Other than that, I've been playing Batman. Because Batman's awesome.
Yeah, I can't really blame you there. Well, that just leaves me, I guess. And I have been playing a game called Broadsword Age of Chivalry, and I definitely did not just read that off of Steam. No, I have been playing it. It's a game that has... I took it on as a review because no one else would take it on as a review, and I think that immediately says what kind of game it is. It's a turn-based game set in the Middle Ages where you have two armies that have to fight each other. Sort of similar to like Advanced Wars or Fire Emblem. Except when two armies meet, it sort of does that thing that Advance Wars does, but they all sort of clash on a battlefield. And although it sounds, you know, sounds quite promising, it's a game that lists the fact that you can change the graphics settings as one of its features doesn't really inspire the most confidence straight away, and the gameplay is a bit insipid and a bit basic.
I was going to say, when I was looking through those, actually, when I went to the Steam page for that, I thought it was a game from the early 2000s.
Yeah, the graphics are not great, and even the UI, when it doesn't zoom in on the units, it looks like a game that you'd find one of those old turn-based strategy games you'd have on a PS1 or a PS2, basically.
I've just literally seen it on Steam. It straight away it says Nvidia Tegra, which makes me think it's a mobile game.
Yeah,
I've honestly seen better looking mobile games.
Yeah, it's.
But did you enjoy it?
It's not fantastic. The issue is, I probably would have had Age of Empires not come out in the 90s, and you know, had I not played Total War or pretty much any other seminal RPG game. You look at it, and it's another case of these games you see, and you think, why is this out on PC? Why isn't this an iPad game or a mobile game? Where the flaws that you look at when it's a PC game, you think, oh, the graphics are a bit awful and things like that. You could forgive if it was on an iPad or a mobile, because these things are not expected, but you know, you look at it, you go, oh, that's okay, because it's, you know, it's a mobile game. But on a PC, you're just like, oh, this is just, you could have done so much better with this. So yeah, that's going to, I haven't completed the review yet, because I haven't completed, there are three campaigns, I think, and I'm only about halfway through the first.
And good God.
I'm pushing my way through it.
Struggling.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll push my way through it, and there should be a review maybe either this weekend or the following week, depending on how much of my life I want to hand over to this game. But yes, and I'll be doing a preview of another game, but I haven't got to grips with that one yet, so I won't be revealing it. But yes, so that's all of our games roundup for this podcast. So we'll be moving on to today's big topic, which is, and in the light of Arkham Knight coming out, I thought I'd do it in its honour, overrated classics. And I can already hear the sharp intake of breath at home, and even in the podcast mumble server, because I don't like the Arkham games. I think they're overrated. And so I thought I'd ask everyone here, what do they think are the most overrated classic game of all time? What do people love that you just cannot see? And if anyone wants to just jump in straight away with an idea, and I'll push off by saying Gold Knight.
I'm going to instantly get shamed for saying Gears of War.
With you there. I'm right with you with Gears of War.
I never really could get into the whole cover system behind it, and it always just felt so slow-paced to me. For such an action-y looking shooter, whenever I played it, it would have been the first Gears of War way back, I just found it really slow. And that always bothered me.
Yeah, you spend either the game sitting behind cover or sprinting between cover.
Yeah,
that's it.
And that's not my kind of, like, unless it's meant to be a tactical shooter, then I have no interest in just sitting behind a wall getting shot at.
And it spawned such a long series of games based off that model. Like, I can remember one game in particular. Does anyone remember Warhammer Space Marine that came out a few years ago?
Don't think I ever played that.
It was a bit Gears of War-y, but you played as like a space marine from Warhammer 40k. And basically what annoyed
me... Yeah, I got misled with that. I got it. I didn't buy it. I got it part of the PlayStation Plus. And I gave it a go, and I thought, oh, this is going to be like Gears of War. Going to be Warhammer, Gears of War. And it's 90% of it is a hack and slash.
Yeah, that's true. But the thing that got to me was that the fact... I used to be a Warhammer 40k nerd, and to be fair, there's no such thing as used to be. You still remember all the stupid facts you memorized as a young teenager. But the fact that you have to take cover when shooting and things like that, you shouldn't have to do that when you're a walking tank, basically. You should be able to shrug off everything and waltz through loads of like hordes of enemies. But instead, you're hacking and slashing your way through these like orcs that shouldn't even be able to touch you, and yet they're still managing to hurt you. And I, for some reason, I seem to blame Gears of War for that. So thanks. Gearbox, well done.
Gearbox?
Is it Gearbox? Epic Games. Epic Games, that's the one.
Epic Games.
Not Gearbox. Sorry, Gearbox.
I partially agree with you with Gears of War. I wouldn't say Gears of War itself, but the influence that the game has on a shitload of other titles. You think about it, as soon as the Unreal Engine came out, which Gears of War was the first game to use, you got a fuck ton of games that used the Unreal Engine that was either a third-person cover-based shooter like Gears of War, which usually turned out to be shit, or a crappy first-person shooter using the Unreal Engine.
Yeah, it did spawn a lot of those.
Amazing.
I'm trying to remember the name. It had it was mainly two-player, I think. And it came out maybe 2 months after Gears of War, I think, and it was the same thing. Army of Two, that's the one.
Yes, that game was awful. That is a prime example. Yeah. That used the Unreal Engine, and that looked freaking awful. Well, and it played awful as well.
So we thank Gears of War for that as well.
I think,
yeah, we blame Gears of War.
Ace has been quiet.
It's the same with Call of Duty as well, isn't it? As soon as Call of Duty became big, you know, Call of Duty wasn't actually that big until Call of Duty 4 came out. And the Call of Duty 4 is the best Call of Duty out. And all the others are just never really matched its level. But then look at all the freaking clones that have come out since. Even games, like Modern Warfare for the phone. That's a terrible game.
Yeah.
Funny you should bring up Call of Duty, because that's actually my vote for most overrated. A series of World War II shooters that turned into modern day shooters that are now future shooters.
Hey now.
Yeah.
I'll hear nothing. Yeah. I'll hear nothing against the World War II Call of Duty shooters.
Yes.
And Modern Warfare. To be fair, Modern Warfare was, and this is, I dislike the Call of Duty franchise as much as the next person who's a gaming hipster, but Modern Warfare was an incredible game that defined the FPS genre as much as Halo did. But then it's what they did afterwards, basically. Modern Warfare was an incredible game, but Activision knew what they were doing when they started to milk that for all it was worth.
Yeah. I'll agree with Ace as well, that I think they're, well, that's not my number, well, now that I think about it, actually, yeah, that is one of my number one overrated franchises, just because it's been so overdone.
The thing is that the trailers all come out and, there's this little bit of the story, and look at the multiplayer, this is multiplayer. Why always multiplayer? What happened? Why can't they make a good single-player campaign as well?
Because they know people will just buy it for the multiplayer. I've looked at people's achievements or trophy lists, and they've all got nothing on the game because they've just played nothing but the multiplayer.
Yeah.
So that's all. Just look, you think, they've played every single Call of Duty to date, excluding the World War II ones, and it's all 0% on their games. But this, because they're just playing multiplayer.
I think the gaming industry needs a single player, a good single player FPS. I mean, I suppose you could talk. You could say that, like, you could say that Bioshock Infinite sort of filled that gap for a while. But I think it really needs a new franchise that's a first person shooter. Whether that's in the future, whether it's present, or whether it's past, or it just needs something new to just kick it up the arse.
Part of the problem, I think, as well, like speaking from personal experience, at least, even with the Call of Duty franchise, I played through some of the storylines for those, but the AI are just not challenging enough compared to playing against people.
Have you tried playing it on Veteran?
Yes.
Veteran and World of War was crazy.
It's still just... I don't think AI... Yeah, but that's still like...
Often they're patterns, I'm trying to think of behavior, examples. Though. Because you see those videos. Was it Modern Warfare with the mission that was supposedly, like, you couldn't complete it, the one in the airplane, which people used to try and do on Veteran, where you had to, like, save the president and then jump out of the plane or something. And you could see videos of people who just memorized what every single AI character does on their way through.
Oh, yes.
So it's just a case of muscle memory.
I got the achievement for it.
Yeah.
I got the achievement for it. You have to do that, Veteran. Mile High Club.
That's the one.
It's called.
Yeah, like,
that was
no matter what,
freaking bitch to do.
The AI doesn't, it's not like a person where every time they die, they learn something about what they're doing wrong. Whereas this, it's the AI just do the exact same thing.
They're just programmed to just instantly lock on, fire, and because it's a higher difficulty, they kill you within seconds. So it's just, you have to learn, you don't have to really learn the pattern of the AI, you just got to freaking learn to be better at your timing. Because, you know, as soon as they fire, that's it, you're dead. So you've got to go bang, 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 and kill them before they even get the AI even gets a freaking chance to shoot at you.
I think that's what, yeah, like, I think if someone could actually come up with a, I don't know how difficult that actually is, like an AI that develops itself as it, each time someone beats a level or something, it just gets it learns progressively more about maybe how you play it as, like, play yourself.
I remember when Valve first talked about the director for Left 4 Dead, that sort of does a similar kind of thing. But that's more scripted than learning about how you beat it. It's more just like, oh, you're doing well, so I'll throw more zombies at you. Or, oh, you're doing badly, I'll throw less zombies at you.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead's a lot of that. Especially, like, when it goes quiet. There's no zombies about. So it's going, yeehaw, think, oh, there's no zombies. Oh, I'm going to get a tank or something.
It was the last, the Tomb Raider I played a while ago. I love the whole game except for the AI in that. And it made me kind of not... It makes me not want to continue with single-player games because you shoot someone in the head and they go, where did that come from?
Yeah. Yeah, Tomb Raider's an incredible game, but, like, the thing that annoys me with Tomb Raider is, like, when... And I think that the Lara Croft design in that game is probably one of the best character designs I've ever played. I mean, I was hooked straight away. Like, it's the thing that got me with that game is I actually spent most of it, like, caring about what happened to us. But, I mean, it wasn't just the fact that she was dying in such horrible ways if you messed up. But the character was so well created and so well, like, acted out that you sort of ended up being like, I don't actually want this person to die. I want to, like, try and get them through this. But the first time she kills someone, with, like, I think she shoots a guy who's trying to rape her because all bad guys are rapists. And she shoots him in the head or something. And then she, like, looks at her hands covered in blood and she's, like, horrified. And then 5 minutes later, you're just headshotting guys with your bow like it doesn't even matter. And then you kill hundreds and hundreds after that. And I know the next game is going to, it's like so that she was like in therapy and stuff, but I mean, she goes from being like, oh my God, what have I done, to just popping guys off like it doesn't really matter, like it doesn't matter at all.
It was a similar thing with Far Cry 3.
Yeah.
Because with that one, you were basically like just some frat guy who was with his mates going on holiday, and then you just, everything just turns to shit and you've got that psychopath, and as soon as you get away, you then just instantly, you join a tribe, you get tattoos on your arm, and you start killing all these people with precision and skill.
I think Fallout 3
never held a gun before.
I think Fallout 3 sort of subvert that a little bit, because there are parts where got Fallout on the brain. Far Cry 3,
another overrated title.
I'll hunt you down. We live in the same town, Cal. don't do this. Far Cry 3 subverts that a little bit, because while you're doing it, he sort of like has a moral dilemma where he starts thinking like, he starts enjoying himself and he starts enjoying the killing and stuff, which is becomes like one of the main choices, doesn't it, whether you stay on the island or whether you go back with your friends.
It's a very silly ending.
I actually haven't completed it. After you, spoilers, take out your headphones if you don't want to listen. After you kill kill Vaas, I was like, well, this has taken out all of the conflict in this game for me. I cannot be asked to do the rest now.
Yeah, that was their idea of a twist, and then it was just like, he's not the real bad guy, and
it's like, well, he was the only one with charisma.
Dale downhill. Yeah, exactly. He was the only thing that was keeping me playing, and now he's gone.
Yeah.
Far Cry 4 was a little better. I enjoyed Far Cry 4.
Moving on to, well, I thought I'd bring it back to the game that I whispered before we started talking about COD, which was GoldenEye. I think GoldenEye is one of the most overrated games of all time.
The N64 one?
Yep.
I actually love that.
It's the way people talk about it now, like it's some sort of incredible, like, the best thing since sliced bread. I understand that it was, you know, genre-defining, it was, at the time, it was brilliant, but it's people who talk about it and they're like, oh, GoldenEye is still the best shooter of all time, man, oh, it's so good. And then you play it, and then you're like, I can't fucking do anything. I can't aim, I can't move.
No.
The graphics look like fucking triangles everywhere. And it might just be me because I never had an N64 and I'd start with a PS1.
But... I think it's just people's stupid nostalgia because for most people, even myself included, that was like one of the first multiplayer games I ever played. Yeah. So you got like 4-player split screen and it was just shitload of fun. So a lot of people's memory of saying it, oh, it's fucking awesome, it's the best FPS I ever played, is because they're just thinking of the fun times they had playing in multiplayer.
That's true.
But I reckon if they went back and tried to play through the game single player, they'll be like, oh, this is
people
shit.
People in denial, though, because I've said, like, a few years back when I was in sixth form, we had an N64 in the common room, and people were like, oh my God, we got to play GoldenEye, it's so good, we're going to have so much fun. And I was like, it's going to be rubbish, it's going to be awful. We had an N64 and a GameCube because we had an awesome common room, and everyone always wanted to play GoldenEye on the N64, and every time we'd start playing it, and they'd be like, I can't do anything, Stand still so I can shoot you. Why is my cursor moving all around the screen?
You sure they didn't have a dodgy N64 controller?
No, it's just the dodgy aiming, isn't it?
That's what we always do. I get the official controller. You can have this Mad Cats one, which has got a dodgy joystick.
Yeah, because you're the guest.
Yeah, exactly.
You get my crappy controller. But yeah. I mean, it might just be another case of the fact that I didn't play a lot. I mean, to be fair, James Bond Nightfire holds a place in my heart because I played that a lot as multiplayer, so I suppose it's a similar thing. But I wouldn't go back and say that Nightfire was one of the best first-person shooters I ever played.
No. I mean, the most fun I had with the N64 was actually Super Smash Bros. I would say that was a hell of a lot better than GoldenEye.
I love Super Smash Bros.
Multiplayer. That was so much more fun. Especially when you get the hammer. It's like, you're fucked.
Does anyone have any other nominations? Any other games that draw their ire, they want to air while they have the chance?
No, the main one for me is Call of Duty.
We can just go back to hating on Call of Duty, but...
Okay. Here's a suggestion. What about... Okay, so we got games that are really overrated, but obviously with different developers making these games, because especially Call of Duty, you've got... three developers now working on the Call of Duty franchise. But what about really overrated developers? Who do you think is... Who are?
Sorry, for those unaware, Fowler just dropped and came back in again, but don't worry, he's back. Everyone, don't worry. Fowler's here.
Okay.
Don't stop listening just because Fowler's gone.
Yeah, sorry, something happened with our D-Link connector, I think.
Oh dear.
Well, is it because it's D-Link?
No, I haven't had that problem before.
Well, carry on, Cal, sorry.
So, yeah, I was going to say, with lots of developers, so, for example, I would probably say Bungie is a very overrated developer. The guys who made Halo, they're big boys, everyone's saying, oh, yeah, they're great, they made Halo. And now they're not making Halo anymore. They've made Destiny, and Destiny's a load of shit. To me, it is. I'm sure there's people out there who do love Destiny and think it's the best thing ever because you guys love to grind. But to me, I found Destiny really terrible because it was just a grind fest. And now they want more money from you because of this new expansion.
It's a 10-year game, isn't it? That's their thing.
Their 10-year game. So I would say Bungie is a very overrated developer, in my opinion. But what
about
you guys?
Yes, I completely agree with Bungie. It's like M. Night Shyamalan. He had a couple of good movies, and now everything's just bunk. Bungie, they had a couple of hits, now everything's just bunk.
Oh, but The Happening was great, though.
So was and The Sixth Sense, but...
So was Avatar.
But what about After Earth?
Oh, God.
Look, yeah, I'm still... Jaden Smith is going to be the biggest superstar this planet, and possibly cult leader this planet has ever seen. And we're still waiting on that one. Yeah. What about Rare for an overrated developer?
Yeah. Another one grasping at straws when it comes to playing with your nostalgia.
They're doing the Nintendo thing of remember this?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wait, sorry, who's... I don't think I actually caught the name there.
Rare.
Who?
They created Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, okay.
And GoldenEye.
Yeah, that should have been left alone.
They basically did pretty much all the amazing in speech marks games N64. On the N64.
They're not redoing Banjo-Kazooie, are they?
They did Nuts and Bolts.
I don't.
Did they do Nuts and Bolts?
I don't know if they. Yeah, they did. No, did they? I don't know. I can't remember.
No, they're doing. They're making. I know
they're actually
new
letting them make their own game now.
Banjo-Kazooie, aren't they? It's pretty much Banjo-Kazooie, but on a different name, and I can't remember what it's called.
Oh, you mean the Kickstarter game? The ukulele.
That's it.
Yeah, but that's not Rare. That's a bunch of ex-developers from Rare.
Oh, I see.
Rare's still owned by Microsoft, but they've just let them make their own... I think it's a pirate game. I can't remember what it's called, though. They showed it off at E3. They've stopped letting them, for once, not make a Kinect game. Because they were forced to do that before.
Thank God.
Yeah. Fortunately, they didn't actually talk about Kinect during E3. That quite surprised me.
I think they just want to bury that.
I'm happy. Yeah.
They want to forget Kinect and focus on HoloLens.
Yeah, that'd be the next big thing they want you to buy.
VR.
The Oculus.
See,
because you can play your, you can look at a screen while looking at a screen in virtual reality, so you can play your game while you're playing your game.
Pimp my console.
Yeah.
You see, the thing is, I always thought the VR, especially like when Oculus turned up first, like God knows how long ago it was. I thought, well, this will just be a fad. You know, it'll pass just like VR did back in the day. But now we have VR in a time where we actually have the technology to make it work. And I've seen, I mean, I've heard and read games journalists who are some of the most cynical games journalists I know, who've used Oculus or Morpheus and come out like not being able to talk about it, like just being completely stumped by how amazing it was to play the game and like being unable to talk about anything but that for days. So, I mean, maybe it's just one of those things until you've actually properly tried it. I mean, I'm quite excited for it, but then at the same time, it's like, ugh. I don't want it to become the norm. I don't want us to be sat in our living rooms with screens over our faces, with mouths agape and drool coming out of our mouths. I mean, to be fair, I do that now just without the visor. But it's got some sort of weird, creepy, dystopian future feel for me, to be honest.
The Red Dwarf episode, back to reality. Exactly.
Back to reality. I was picturing Wally, actually.
I was thinking of Better Than Life.
But, you know.
Better Than Life, they were injecting something into them, back to reality.
Sure?
Back to reality, they got squirted by the despair squid and woke up in reality in a VR machine.
Yeah.
Yes, that was it. I remember now. Yeah, because it was...
that's one where everything becomes Crichton bad eventually, doesn't it?
Was a police detective. It was an awesome episode. Because Crichton was it a Max Bullet or something like that?
A traffic cop. But yeah, please don't question my Red Dwarf knowledge. My username is Ace Lister, and it has been since 1999, I'll have you know.
All right.
Bitch.
Wow.
There was still the BR from Gunmen's of Apocalypse. As well, because that was a video game.
That was a video game.
And this is a video game podcast.
All right, let's not argue about Red Dwarf. Yeah,
unless you want to start your own Red Dwarf podcast.
Oh, let's do that.
Welcome to Dwarf Grin.
Dwarfcast. And that'd be something completely different. Oh. I'm just glad no one said Bethesda when you said overrated developers.
I was thinking Final Fantasy.
Oh, but... yeah. That's true. Oh, and of, in fact, now we can talk about overrated classics. What about Final Fantasy VII? Since I haven't got enough hate yet. Don't worry, guys. My Twitter handle will be at the end of this podcast, so send all your angry direct messages to me there. But I quite happily dislike Final Fantasy VII.
Do you like RPGs
in
general?
I think the Final Fantasy X is... 3 or 4 times the game Final Fantasy VII ever was.
Personally, I enjoyed Final Fantasy VIII more, but I'm actually rather excited for this number 7 remake, because I hope they don't just... without a doubt, they won't make a straight-on one-to-one remake of it. They're going to make some stupid changes to it.
Apparently, yes, they are making changes to it.
But I bet, without a doubt, they're not even going to have... turn base. One of the rumors knocking about, it's not going
to be $5 to resurrect Aeris.
It's going to be like Final Fantasy XII's combat.
Is that the real time?
Like Final Fantasy XIII. Yeah, so it's real time, so you can move around everywhere and cast spells.
I'm not a
and
big
all
fan
that
of
shit.
That.
No, that
give
was
me turn based or give me nothing.
Yeah. I would prefer turn based.
13, it was auto battle.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I gave up on 13. I played about 5 minutes of it. I went. And stopped.
And that right there for me, just like when you get into that high of a number, 13.
Yeah, you need to start thinking about a new IP.
Yeah.
And a little bit of trivia, it's only called Final Fantasy is because it was the last game that Square made because they were about to go bankrupt. So the creator called it Final Fantasy thinking it was going to be their last game. And then because it was hugely successful, they kept the name.
Maybe they'll That's make one cool. And it'll be Final Fantasy, and then in brackets, no, really.
The Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
They can spin off a whole new franchise from it.
I might as well complete the trifecta of hate and say that I also don't really like Metal Gear Solid.
Get out.
Not a big fan either.
I think I may have arrived too late
to
it.
I love Metal Gear Solid.
I think I'm a bit too young. I think I was just too young for Metal Gear Solid 1. I got it on PlayStation because I was too young to really understand what you had to do in the game, so I died a lot on this. Thus, it made me frustrated, and thus, I never really touched it again.
I really enjoyed the Metal Gear Solid. That's one of my favourite games, but I did feel a bit annoyed with number 4, because number 4 was not only really stupidly long with the cutscenes, to the point where I was just going,
yeah,
hurry up. But I didn't want to skip them. But I'm really looking forward to Metal Gear Solid 5. And it's also rather upsetting then, because it could very well be Hideo Kojima's very last Metal Gear.
It is.
It is, pretty much, yes. Fuck you, Konami.
Throwing another one out there. Splinter Cell?
Oh, Splinter Cell.
Konami.
I don't remember people. Were people that bothered, that enthusiastic about it?
I knew a lot of people that loved them. I could just never grasp it.
The last one got a lot of hate, didn't it? Splinter Cell.
Good, hopefully it stops.
It's Ubisoft, isn't it? You did.
Yeah.
Splinter Cell came before Assassin's Creed. And then they found their cash cow.
They still do make Splinter Cell games, though, unfortunately.
Do they?
Just not as often.
The last one. What was the last one? That was Conviction. Because they dropped Michael Ironside, didn't come back for the voice. And everyone got really pissy about it.
Yeah, but they've got that new one coming out already, don't they? God, what's it called? Blacklist?
Blacklist?
Yeah. No, is that already out?
That's already out. That was on the 360.
Good luck. Okay, wow. So they've made more since then?
It came out August 2013, and that was the last one so far.
Do Ubisoft still do Splinter Cell?
So far, okay.
Because I think, or is it EA now? EA?
No, it's all still owned by Ubisoft.
That's,
Yeah. It's Tom Clancy, so they're just going to...
It's weird.
They own
I don't know why I'm thinking that.
Uh-huh. Apparently there's a film coming out.
Oh, I wonder if it'll be as good as the Hitman film.
I'm quite excited for that new Hitman film. That looks quite good. I just watched the trailer for it not long ago. It looks all right.
It can't be any worse than the last one.
Yeah, definitely. Anything better than the last film.
Well.
Oh, Splinter Cell's the film's starring Tom Hardy, so that's going to get a lot of money.
To be fair, I do like Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy's the go-to guy right there. I'm quite interested in that new one, Legend.
Oh, with him playing both. That's basically his Oscar film.
Yeah, it's kind of Oscar baited.
Yeah, it's just like, here is my obvious try at getting an Oscar because I'm playing a role that is quite hard. So, look at me. Because he hasn't really been... I mean, did he get nominated for... what was that? Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy? Because he was in that.
I can't remember.
Well, this isn't a movie
for about
podcast.
A few minutes.
Jeez.
So, we don't know these these answers.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Our mind is just nothing but
gaming. Just trying to bring some extra listeners in who might be trying to listen to the, I don't know, if Empire has a podcast or something. I have no idea. Although we've lost loads of users and listeners because I've basically just said that every single beloved game is rubbish. Apart from Fallout.
Yeah, we can talk all we want about anything else now. You know,
because Fallout.
You know, Alex
no
has
Fallout,
just
no
it.
Party.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for franchises that I never really got or could get into.
Yes, I do actually have another one. The guys who made Left 4 Dead and Evolve. I can't
Turtle
remember the
Rock.
Book. Yes. So they made Left 4 Dead, Left 4 Dead 1 and 2, freaking awesome, great. Okay, people got pissed off about Left 4 Dead 2, but Left 4 Dead 2 was great. They make Evolve, which is another 4-player survival whatever. I've never played it.
5-player.
It's terrible. Oh, okay, 5-player. It's not very good.
It's not very good.
Well, okay. Some people enjoyed it. I think you guys have probably enjoyed it, but I just looked at it.
It's just got no community.
This game is just trying
to
sell me shit.
Yeah, basically, it was basically a storefront.
If they hadn't gone that way, though, it like if you take that part of it out, it was good.
I'm sure, yeah. It's a good concept.
Actually,
I like the concept.
It's one of those games that actually encouraged... Like, you know how you play game modes in Battlefield and stuff like that, where no one actually goes for objectives. It's always, everyone's just going for kills and crap like that. This was a game where it actually forced you to work with your team, otherwise you did lose no matter what. And I think more games need to focus on punishing or not rewarding you if you don't follow what you're supposed to do.
I can't help but feel that,
like, that's one problem.
Cal's little dig there was at our editor, Rasha, who spent most of the time before Evolve came out, he spent most of the time telling us, buy Evolve, buy Evolve, buy Evolve, it's going to be amazing.
Completely unintentional.
Yeah, all right. But if Cal's not here at the next podcast, you know why, guys.
I mean, I from the look of it, when I first saw it, I said, this looks good. It's from the guys made Left 4 Dead, very co-op focused. But then as soon as they start popping out with all this skins and DLC, that just instantly put it off.
Season pass number two.
Yes, season pass number two. Dear. But then I can't complain because that's exactly what Batman's doing as well. And Batman's freaking awesome.
That's just always one season pass.
But I mean, with the DLC, with like all the pre-order bonuses, yeah. Pre-order from here and get this costume and this costume and this costume. Oh my God, I'm going to pre-order it. I shouldn't be pre-ordering at all, according to Alex.
Well, you don't need to have pre-ordered. If you didn't pre-order it, in fact, you can just wait a few months and then the DLC will be released for you to buy.
Without a doubt, learning Warner Brothers, you'll get the Game of the Year edition in a couple of months' time.
Maybe once they've fixed the PC version.
Yeah, the PC version will be re-released as a Game of the Year edition. the Game We Fixed edition.
But on that note, coming to the end of the podcast, I'm afraid. So, thanks to you, dear listeners, and sorry if I've insulted your favourite game, which I more than likely have done. I've been your host, Hamiltonius, and you can send your hate to me on Twitter at @adhamilton91, and I've been joined by my, as always, fabulous guests, who are Ace.
Follow me on Twitter at @acelister.
Cal.
Thank you for having me. It's still really warm, but if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at @calmine.
And if you want to send your Splinter Cell themed hate to Fowler, then you can.
Yeah, you can send all that to it, Fowlerfire. You will not change my opinion.
But you can try. And we've been the Game Grin Grincast. And as always, you can find Game Grin at www.gamegrin.com, on Twitter at Game Grin, on YouTube at youtube.com/GameGrin, on Facebook, just search Game Grin. And we are on SoundCloud, but our podcasts are now being posted onto the main Game Grin site, so you'll find them, the latest one there. But if you do want to go back and look at some old episodes, we're on SoundCloud, just search Game Grin. So yes, thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next week. And until then, remember to check out the reviews on the site that we talked about, and maybe leave a comment. But yeah, until then, game on.